Sunday, August 10th, the 19th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The first reading from Wisdom chapter 18, verses 6 through 9. The night of the Passover was known beforehand to our fathers, that with sure knowledge of the oaths in which they put their faith, they might have courage. Your people awaited the salvation of the just and the destruction of their foes. For when you punished our adversaries, in this you glorified us whom you had summoned. For in secret the holy children of the good were offering sacrifice and putting into effect with one accord the divine institution. Haydock Commentary. God had assured the patriarchs that he would visit his people, and Moses had told them what would take place during the night of their deliverance. See Exodus 4:22. The children of the patriarchs, the Israelites, offered in private the sacrifice of the Paschal Lamb, and were regulating what they were to do in their journey, when that last and most dreadful plague was coming upon their enemies. The feast was a bond of union with God and their neighbor, and the Hebrews resolved to be always true to one another both in prosperity and adversity. The promises made to the patriarchs filled the Hebrews with confidence that they would shortly take possession of Canaan. The second reading from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, and 8 through 19. Brothers and sisters, faith is the realization of what is hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Because of it, the ancients were well attested. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was to go. By faith, he sojourned in the promised land as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and maker is God. By faith he received power to generate, even though he was past the normal age, and Sarah herself was sterile, for he thought that the one who had made the promise was trustworthy. So it was that there came forth from one man, himself as good as dead, descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sands on the seashore. All these died in faith. They did not receive what had been promised, but saw it and greeted it from afar, and acknowledged themselves to be strangers and aliens on earth. For those who speak thus show that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land from which they had come, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better homeland, a heavenly one. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith Abraham, when put to the test, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was ready to offer his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac descendants shall bear your name." He reasoned that God was able to raise even from the dead, and he received Isaac back as a symbol. Haydock Commentary. This whole chapter is a commendation and recommendation of faith, which is the substance of things hoped for, giving as it were a substance in our minds to such things as we are in hopes and in expectation of hereafter, and making them present to us before they come to pass. It is also a sure conviction of things that appear not. For when God has revealed things, and we believe them upon the divine and infallible authority of the revealer, we have a greater certainty of them than any demonstration can afford us. By this virtue of faith, they of old, our forefathers, obtained a testimony from God that their actions were pleasing to him. Faith is the basis, the foundation supporting our hope. For unless there be faith, there cannot possibly be any hope. He commends the faith of Abraham, who, believing God, left his own country, lived in Canaan as in a strange country, waiting for the promise and for a city whose builder and maker is God, that is, for a habitation in the kingdom of heaven. The patriarchs who lived to a great age dwelt not in fixed dwellings, but in movable tents as pilgrims, whereas their descendants, the period of whose existence is greatly curtailed, passed their time in building and planning as if they were never to die. This earth is a place of our exile. Heaven is our true country. Let us then live here as strangers and pilgrims, looking forward with anxious desires for our true country, the land of the living, in the bosom of our God. All these died in the faith of God's promises, that is, of their posterity being introduced into the promised land of Canaan, but chiefly into the happy country of heaven. For had they only aspired and wished for the country of Chaldea, out of which Abraham came, they had time enough to have returned thither. Here is a metaphor taken from sailors who, after a long and dangerous voyage, hail their native country with transports of joy. Thus in Virgil, Italiam, Italiam, primus conclama Decates. Thus the patriarchs, when beholding at a distance and through faith their heavenly country, hailed it with joyous and repeated accents, eagerly desiring to reach the envied port. By faith Abraham offered up Isaac, that is, was ready and willing to do it, when Isaac was his only son, by whom God had promised to give him a numberless progeny. But by faith he considered that God, who had miraculously given him a son, could, if he pleased, raise him to life again. He received Isaac back as a symbol. Some understand by this that both Abraham and his son became hereby an example of a perfect obedience to God, which all nations should admire. St. John Chrysostom says that Abraham received again his son safe in a figure by being ordered to sacrifice for him a ram, which was a figure of Isaac. Others, that Abraham received again his son Isaac, who was a figure of Christ, sacrificed on the cross, and risen again. Christ carried the cross on which he was to suffer, as Isaac carried the wood up to the mountain where he was to have been offered. The Gospel from Luke chapter 12, verses 32 through 48. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your belongings and give alms. Provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. Be sure of this, if the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." Then Peter said, "Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everyone?" And the Lord replied, "Who then is the faithful and prudent steward whom the master will put in charge of his servants to distribute the food allowance at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master on arrival finds doing so. Truly I say to you, the master will put the servant in charge of all his property. But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants, to eat and drink and get drunk, then that servant's master will come on an unexpected day and at an unknown hour, and will punish the servant severely, and assign him a place with the unfaithful. That servant who knew his master's will, but did not make preparations nor act in accord with his will, shall be beaten severely. And the servant who was ignorant of his master's will, but acted in a way deserving of a severe beating, shall be beaten only lightly. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more." Haydock Commentary. Christ styles the elect in this place his little flock, on account of the great number of the reprobate. Or rather, through his love of humility, because though the church be most numerous, yet he wishes it to continue in humility to the end of the world, and by humility to arrive at the reward which he has promised to the humble. Therefore, in order to console us in our labors, he commands us to seek only the kingdom of heaven, and promises us that the Father will bestow it as a reward upon us. So says Venerable Bede. Again, Venerable Bede, "Be not solicitous that whilst you are fighting for the kingdom of heaven, the necessities of this life will be wanting to you on account of this command. Sell what you possess that you may bestow charity, which those do who, having left all things, nevertheless labor with their hands for their livelihood, and to bestow the rest in charity. Let your loins be girt, that is, be prepared to walk in the way of virtue." After our divine Savior had given his disciples such excellent instructions, he wishes to lead them still farther in the path of perfection by telling them to keep their loins girt and to be prepared to obey the orders of their divine master. By lamps burning in their hands, he wished to insinuate that they were not to pass their lives in obscurity, but to let their lights shine before men. So says Theophylactus. In the first watch is childhood, the beginning of our existence. By the second is understood manhood, and by the third is meant old age. He, therefore, who does not comply with our divine master's injunctions in the first or second watch, let him be careful not to lose his soul by neglecting to be converted to God in his old age. So says St. Gregory. Ignorance, when it proceeds from a person's own fault, does not excuse, but only diminishes the fault.